Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Ron Johnson. My God, why do we have to keep talking about Ron Johnson? Hopefully after November of 2022, we won't have to keep talking about Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson got a little ink. Ron Johnson doesn't like to pay taxes, apparently. Ron Johnson likes to talk about money, but he does not like to pay taxes. So the media reviewed his tax returns for 2017, and he paid a little over $2,000 in state taxes, $2,105 state taxes. Now, how much income did he have? It's not easy to figure out, but they can certainly figure out a minimum. He had at least $450,000 in income that year. Now, you think about your estate taxes, whatever your income. Let's say you make $40,000 a year, $80,000 a year, $120,000 a year, $35,000 a year. From about 40 on up, you're going to have paid more estate taxes than Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson got and still gets $174,000 a year for his Senate salary. And then they have a disclosure form that members of Congress, including the Senate and the House, have to fill out. And it has to do with their stock investments, including bonds, securities of all sorts, bank accounts, and income. But sly dogs that they are, extremely sly dogs, they only have to show a range. So one range might be $100,000 to $3 million. The other might be $3 million to $30 million. The other might be $30 million to $300 million. You see, very, very hard to figure out what they're up to. That's why they have it in there that way. It'd be a lot easier if you just said, hey, put it out like a financial statement when you send it to a bank to get a loan. Put it out. Just put out the whole thing. But no, no. So on income, he put his income is somewhere, this is in addition to his Senate salary, between $276,412 and $2.2 million. It's almost a factor of 10 for 2017. So if he had $2.2 million, you add that to $174,000 in the Senate, and he had a hefty little number there. But even if you only add $276,000, the lower end of the range, to his Senate salary, he still had $450,000. So we know he had at least $450,000. You also know he had more than that, because when you put a range like that, very few people are doing it to disclose the lower amount. They just say the lower amount. They're up to something, and they are not disclosing what it really is. So he had a substantial income. I do not begrudge him that. I think it's good to see people make money. And as long as everybody has a shot at it, has an opportunity, everybody who isn't lazy and wants to go on and get an education and is not discriminated against, good for them. I like to see it. Also like to see him pay taxes. Hedge fund operators don't pay income taxes. You know that? And the 20% they get of money they make over their benchmark, they pay carried interest, it's called. It's a fake, not income tax, because their lobbyists got it in there. And there are all these little tricks that people with lobbyists have stuck in there, which is why you are paying a lot more in taxes frequently, not just relatively, not let's just say in percentage, but sometimes in real dollars. And so here is a guy, Ron Johnson, had a minimum from his disclosure form of $450,000. Paid $2,105 in state income taxes in 1917. Now, in the old days, they had a minimum tax. So in other words, they'd look at your income and you could do all the fancy footwork that you wanted. And at the end, you had to at least pay the minimum tax, which was frequently more than you managed to gin down your income. And they got rid of that. And I remember it. I've paid the minimum income tax on a number of occasions in the past. And I think it was a fair thing to do. It's a fair thing to do. It didn't let you take into account all of your deductions, which is too bad. But on the other hand, we didn't have the kind of deficits we have now. And secondly, it resulted in tax equity, in my view, tax equity. So the next time Ron Johnson gets up there and goes, well, you know, we have to have transparency in taxes. We have to have honesty in government. Give me a break. Physician, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. Instead of paying $2,105 in state income tax for an income that's somewhere between $450,000 and several million, and maybe more on the upper end, I suspect it is, and he slipped out with a two grand too large to the government, and that's how he does business. Bad news, very, very, very bad news, extremely bad news. Another guy who's bad news, slippery Lindsey Graham, Ganymede. Little Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, he's very, very bad. He's the guy, he has stabbed and betrayed a lot of people, John McCain. Then he went full frontal Trump. Then he stabbed Trump after the insurrection, wrongly calculating that Trump was done. Then when Trump doesn't seem done, he's sucking back up to him again. This is the guy he is, just a guy hanging around. Stephanie Grisham, the former communications director for Trump, just said yesterday, this is an excerpt from a book that came out. They're coming out a little bit at a time, so this is from the book. Said that he was a freeloader. Quote, he will stuff his face. He shows up at Mar-a-Lago all the time. He likes free rounds of golf with Trump, and he just stuffs his face at the buffet line. Hey, guy, if you're in the Senate, you can afford some chow, okay? I have never seen a senator look hungry. Evan, have you ever seen a hungry looking senator? Some of them look quite well fed, very well fed. They go to all these receptions. They eat more shrimp, honest to God, than a whale. I mean, whale sucked down a lot of shrimp. These guys suck down some serious shrimp, suck down whatever they want. And Lindsey Graham is a classic freeloader, according to Stephanie Grisham, who was there and watched him graze at the buffet line. He loved free food. But Lindsey Graham occasionally sticks his toe in the water and tries to look a little bit moderate. And this is a stupid issue, not a stupid, it's an important issue, but a stupid result. He suddenly realized that whether you're conservative or liberal, it's a good idea to get the vaccine because you might then not die. You know, that's a pretty good reason not to do it, go in the hospital, whatever. So he's at a county Republican deal in Somerville, South Carolina, conservative, obviously Republican. And he goes, you should consider taking the vaccine. He didn't even tell him to take the vaccine. You should consider taking the vaccine. He was booed. I mean, what kind of people boo a guy for saying, at least consider it? You know, might keep you out of the hospital and certainly off a ventilator. And then he went on, he said, 92% of people in the hospital are unvaccinated, which is true. And they shouted, false, not true. You know, this absolute rabble. Then he goes, all right, quote, this is from him. How many of you had measles shots? And the screams came, not the same. Everybody's standing around what? With pitchforks? What, the moonlight is glinting off their remaining tooth? Off the tines of the pitchfork or something? I mean, come on, guys. Come on. And Trump was booed at an Alabama rally. Trump himself said you should consider taking the vaccine. And in August, he got booed. Hey, guys, Trump got vaccinated on the sly. He did not do it on camera in public. And half of his people don't think he got vaccinated. This is a sick deal. I mean, people are being induced not to get vaccinated. They're being induced and led not to get vaccinated. They look on it as an article of faith, that a sacrifice of some sort. A sacrifice. You know, Napoleon is the one who invented the combat medal. You know, people in the service get combat medals. He invented them in the invasion of Russia. And he looked, the sergeant came up to salute him, and he saluted back, and he said, you know, a man will give his life for that piece of ribbon. You know something? It's a fetish that these people, and that is a matter of honor. These people will give their lives over a fetish, of not being vaccinated. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.